Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Father, we trust in you. We cry out to you. All our hope is in you. And Father, this evening, without exception, we come into your presence just thanking you for being our God, our Lord, our Savior. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Good evening. There's a little bit of ringing. Maybe bring it down just a tad. All right. I've got a couple announcements for you. First of all, this Sunday, super excited that after second service, we have an all-servants meeting. So if you serve in any capacity at all, please plan on attending. But definitely, we need all overseers. We got a lot to cover, being our first meeting of the year. And there's a lot coming up. So very important. Also, to let you know that this next week, we got a lot going on. We got Club T2 next week. We got Access next week. Cross training begins again next week, along with our men and women's ongoing Bible study on Monday and then Monday and then Tuesday morning. Women have a repeat of Monday night. So a lot going on next week, a lot happening. Keep that in mind. Also, if you didn't know, we have a ministry called Fruits of Harvest, and that is for people who are in need to come and get food and clothing. It's an opportunity to bless people. So if you know someone who has needs, send them to HBC. We'll take care of them. Also, look, you can also give to that ministry. You know, if you want to give canned goods or you have clothing that they can use to give out to people. Also, even better than that, how about this? You could get involved and serve there, and you could pray with people. You get to lead people to Christ. It's an exciting, exciting, life-changing ministry. So they are open only on Friday and Mondays from 10 to 1. So one, if you know someone in need, give them a card. Tell them to come down. We just want to love on them. That's all that is. Or you can give canned goods, clothing, or you can come in and serve and be a part of that ministry. Also want to remind you of a couple of things, and that is we have a prayer meeting every Friday at 5:30 to 6:30, and Sunday at 8:30, there's prayer for the actual service. So listen, we know this, that prayer is what's fueling the teaching here at HBC. So super excited. And we have a couple of things I want you to be praying about, even if you don't come to those prayer meetings. We're going to be doing some outreach, but we're going to collaborate with some other local churches, and we're going to come together and do some stuff. I'm pretty excited. We're going to do, you'll see, you'll hear about it, but we need to be in prayer, you know, especially about the churches that are going to be involved. We hope that many of them are involved, because it's not about this church and that church. It's about Jesus Christ. And what I love is they're open to doing something with us. And I love that. I think that's exciting. We've already begun making contacts, and you'll hear about it. It's going to be super awesome. Along with the fact that we're going to try to go back to doing Epic Easter in the park. And man, yeah, it's going to be awesome. So be praying about the outreaches. We're going to do organized mass chaos again this year. We're going to do Epic Easter. Woohoo! Chaos! Crazy. Now, it is awesome. It is really, really a cool event. You'll see as we come. We got Epic Easter. We're already planning for our Epic Easter in the park. But also, you know, be praying about the radio spots. You know, people have been hearing them and saying, hey, they're good. We need the right people who need to hear them. So be praying that God would reach the right ears, okay? So with that, listen, every now and then I like to bless y'all by asking a deacon to come up and teach. And this will be the first time Sean Michelle has taught the Word of God. And he's one of our deacons here, so I think you're going to be blessed. He's a godly man. Come on up, brother. The water's fine. All right, it's all you.
Is everybody nervous? It'd be bad if you guys were nervous, because I'm really nervous right now. But I know I'll be just fine. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me to serve you and teach your word tonight, Lord God. And I just pray that you would just bless everybody that's here, pour out your blessings upon them, Lord God, and let them hear your word, Lord God. And I just want to just give it all to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to be in Ephesians 4, but before we get started, I just want to just talk about how I got here. Towards the end of the year, God was speaking to my heart about things that I needed to get rid of in my life. I was kind of, you know, making concessions, right? It was about social media and stuff. So I'd get off of this one, but keep this one and go, well, God, you know, this one doesn't make me, you know, angry or bitter. So I'm just going to keep this one over here. And, you know, so God got a hold of me. And over the holidays, I got the virus and he put me down. And during that time, when I was down, he spoke to me for 14 days. Every day, and he let me know that I needed to get rid of these things out of my life, get rid of the bitterness and the anger that I was having because of all the stuff that was going on in the world, you know, with the virus and the political stuff, and you know, and he was just really just convicting me. So as I started to get better, I walked into my closet, you know, I was changing, I walk into my closet. Well, in my closet, I have these shelves, and on one of the shelves, I had a $100 bill, fake one with our president's face on it, and some wristbands and some little pins. And when I walked in there, God said, "That's your idol. What about me?" And man, it just broke me. Anyway... Here we are, right? We get into Ephesians, and he just starts to speak to me and starts to show me, you know, what I need to do. The things that he's done, the way I'm supposed to live my life. So fast forward to last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, I'm on the list to teach tonight, and I backed out. I had sent Pastor Randy a message, you know, prior to that, and said, "I'm not going to be ready," you know. And so when we're sitting in our meeting, my name was on the list, and I was like, well, I kind of backed out, you know. And at that moment, God was like, you told me that you were going to step out in faith. So, you know, and I said, "All right, Lord, here we go." So then I started asking, "Well, what do you want me to teach on?" You know, I started praying about it, and he's like, "Ephesians 4. You know, obviously, right? So tonight we're going to be in Ephesians 4. Before we get started, I want to give a quick overview of the book of Ephesians. And, you know, in the first three chapters, it reminds us everything that Jesus has done for us. So, you know, we read verses, and these are just paraphrased. I'm not, you know, we read verses that tell us, God blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He chose us before the foundations of the world. In him we have redemption through his Son. We are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. In him we have obtained an inheritance. In him we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In him we have redemption through his blood, through the forgiveness of sins, according to his riches and grace. We are his workmanship. We have been saved by grace through faith. We are his fellow citizens of the saints, with the saints, and we are fellow heirs. You know, when I read that, it was just a reminder of all the great things that God has done, well, for all of us, but for me. You know, it was awesome to read those scriptures and to go, man, Lord, you know, all the stuff that you've done, how can I not serve you? You know, so it was just awesome just to read those first three chapters. Chapters 4 through 6 kind of takes a little bit of a turn. You know, it Paul writes about our Christian behavior, how we should live our lives as a body of believers. Even though we have salvation in Jesus Christ, we should live our lives the way Jesus desires us to live and empowers us to be. We can't use our salvation to live the way we want. We should always live the way that pleases God. You know, Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." As followers of Christ, it's important for us to understand that we represent Jesus, and we should always be ready to serve each other in love. So, if you haven't already turned there, Ephesians 4. I'm going to break this down into just different sections. I don't have any titles. Pastor Randy's the pro at this stuff. I just verses 1 through 6, 7 through 16, 17 through 24, and then we'll finish up in 25 to 32. So let's read, and then I'll go back. So we'll read those verses, and then we'll go back and we'll go through them. So. One through six. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, or y'all. So, verse 1, I'm reading, this one's, I just took it out of the New Translations. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For if you have been called by God. You know, Paul starts this letter by telling us we must walk worthy of our calling. Everyone is called by God, but not everyone answers that call. For those who do, know that God has prepared us for his good works, prepared you and me. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Verse 2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Nowadays, it's easy for people to live a life that's full of pride and unforgiveness and of hate. You know, we see it all over social media. We see it on the news. We see it when we're driving, when we're out shopping. You know, people just don't give anybody a break anymore. You know, but God calls us to be the exact opposite. You know, he wants us to live a life of humility, gentleness, patience, and to be forgiving. You know, how can we not be forgiving to people knowing that our Heavenly Father is so forgiving towards us and the things we do? Verse 3. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Colossians 3:14 and 15 says, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful." The word "keep" in verse 3, that means we already obtained peace. We must keep. We must make every effort to keep it. When God rules our hearts, we remain in his peace, and peace is the spiritual cord that binds us together in love. Verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's only one body of Christ. That's us. That's the body of believers. You know, one Spirit that dwells within us. You know, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, and one God and Father. When it comes to baptism, there's only one. You know, we're not baptized a Catholic. We're not baptized a Baptist. You know, the word Paul talks about, we're not baptized of Paul or of Apollos or Cephas. You know, we're not baptized of Pastor Randy. You know, we're baptized into Jesus Christ, you know, not into a church or a person. So we got to, you know, remember that. Galatians 3:28 says, "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." So when we're baptized, Christ, Christ dwells in us and around us. So, we're going to read verse 7 through 16. Get some water. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself." So we're going to cut this up. Verse 7. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts." It's because of God's grace that he allows us to receive spiritual gifts. Because we know that grace is unmerited favor, we should also know that these gifts that are distributed by the Holy Spirit as he sees fit. It has nothing to do with us or what we do. It has everything to do just with God and how he allows us to have it. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." You know, it's pretty awesome when you think that God allows us to have spiritual, you know, gives us spiritual gifts, right? Not because we deserve it, but because God's good. Verses 8 through 10. "Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things." This talks about Jesus' victory on the cross when he ascended into heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to empower all the believers with spiritual gifts. So Acts 2:33. Verse 11 and 12. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." The purpose of the church, or the men of God that God's gifted, is to equip and build up the body of Christ, not to tear it down. It's to lead believers from a life of sin to a life of obedience. That's our job. That's every deacon and every pastor here, you know. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we hear or read God's word, it prepares us how to live our lives. It also teaches us to know when we are not living right and guides us back in alignment with him. 13. Till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. There should be nothing more valuable than to gain the knowledge of Jesus and become mature in our faith. Philippians 3, 8 and 9 says, and this is from the New Living Translation, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. There's nothing that can satisfy us more than serving God. Cars wear out, careers, they last a moment, and then they're gone. But having a relationship with Jesus, it's for eternity. You know, how can we not want that? How can we not put that first in our lives? Verse 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. It's so important that we study God's word so that we can gain knowledge of him and understand his word, understand him. You know, if we know God's word, he will give us the discernment to know when we are receiving unbiblical doctrine, when we're hearing it, when, you know, when we see it on TV, whatever. You know, so many churches now are, nowadays are popping up, packaging themselves as progressive Christianity, or, you know, what I would call the feel-good churches. Those churches that talk about self-help, positive thinking, saying good things so good things can happen, you know, or the prosperity gospel, you know, the churches that teach that financial blessing is always the will of God. You know, it's not true doctrine. Romans 16, 17, and 18 says, and now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters, watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interest. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive the innocent people. Sounds a lot like the televangelist. You know, they're, you know, buy this handkerchief and, you know, whatever, God will heal you or whatever, send $10,000. You know, you hear it all, right? So, anyway, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. As we gain the knowledge and understanding of Jesus, we should always speak the truth in love, seeking every way to be more like him. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. Without a variety of members, we cannot have a complete body. You know, fingers, you're missing a finger, toes or a leg, you know, it's not complete, right? Same with the body of Christ. Each one of us has that has a part in the body of Christ has a different function. You know, we talk about those gifts. What is your gift? There is no one who's more important than the other. When we are all contributing, we edify and build up each other. This is explained in Romans 12 through 27. Verse 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. As followers of Christ, you know, it's important that we don't get caught up in the things of the world. You know, like I was talking earlier, you know, I got caught up bad, you know. It makes you just, your mind just gets twisted, right? Because you're not really focusing on Christ, you're focusing on the world. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As our relationship grows with Jesus, we are transformed. We begin to be more like him and like less of the world. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them, because of blindness of their heart. Those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus are separated. Those who have not surrendered their lives to Jesus are separated from him and are also ignorant to God's truth. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, that was one of the things that really got me a lot was, you know, was on, you know, just getting into these arguments that, and God was just dealing with me on that, you know, because I didn't, you know, even though I did kind of understand, I didn't understand why people were, you know, arguing about faith and this and that and all this other stuff, you know, and the reality is exactly what it says. They can't receive, you know, they don't receive the things of God. They're foolish, you know. They're God's word's foolish to the world, you know. It's our job. It's our, you know, we're supposed to, you know, bring the word to them, you know, and let God do the work, not try to force it on them. And I think that's what that's where these arguments on social media happen, right? We're trying to force it, where we, instead of allowing God just to move. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. We're seeing this more and more every day. You know, people are living for themselves, ignoring God, you know, doing whatever makes them feel good. This way of living is very dangerous. 1 Timothy 4:1-2 says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last days some will turn away from their true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. Seared is another word. You know, it's basically shut closed. This means that those who ignore God and follow other doctrines or worldly things will soon find themselves unable to hear and feel the Holy Spirit, or have any sort of conviction in their heart. They're basically spiritually dead. Not basically, they are. Verse 20 and 21. But that isn't what you learned about Christ, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. 1 John 5:20, it says, "And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in the fellowship with the true God, because we live in the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life." Jesus is the true God. John mentions it three times in this one passage of Scripture. You know, as followers of Christ, we should understand the truth. Because of our salvation, we are able to fellowship with him and have eternal life through him. Verses 22 through 24. "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed by the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." We're to put off that the old man because that man was crucified with Christ. As it says in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me." Once Jesus rules and reigns in our lives, we're a new creation. Sin does not have authority to overcome us. Verses 25 through 32. "Therefore, putting away lying," let me move this back. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give a place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Let's go back to verse 25. Therefore, put off lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Integrity is very important in our Christian walk. Lying is more than just telling falsehoods or little white lies. You know, it's cheating. It's exaggerating. It's even adding to something that's true. If you're adding to it, you know, to make it more, you know, glamorous or, you know, a little bit more exciting. They're all forms of lying. God's word is truth, and he cannot use us if we are not truthful. God hates lies, as it says in Zechariah 8, 16, and 17. "These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love false oaths. For all these are the things that I hate, says the Lord." So, I don't think God really likes us to lie. You'll find out in Revelations, I think it's 21. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Anyway, verse 26 and 27. "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give a place to the devil." Romans 12, 21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Being angry is not a sin, you know, as long as it's done for unselfish reasons, for the love of God and for the love of others. Jesus overturned tables in Matthew 21, but once he was driving out the money changers, out of the temple, it says that he began to heal the blind and the lame. You know, Jesus didn't hold a grudge. He just kept on furthering his ministry. If we get angry, we should not dwell on it. It's important that we set aside each night to pray, you know, so our anger doesn't turn into bitterness. You know, we need to figure out how to further God's ministry. What are we doing? You know, we can't let people get to us. We got to just pray for them. You know, we got to make sure we're in prayer. We got to make sure we're reading our word. That's what's going to keep us from letting the devil get to us. Verse 28. Let him who steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. The motivation for working is not just to provide for ourselves, but to bless others. You know, as believers, we should always look for those opportunities. You know, especially today, there's a lot of people out there that are hurting. There's a lot of people in need. You know, all we have to do is just look around, you know. When we act on it and we bless other people, it also gives us an opportunity to share our faith with them. So, just a reminder. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but it what is good for necessary edification, impart grace to the hearers. Proverbs 29:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in setting silver. Our speech should always be instructive. It should be encouraging, you know, even when we're correcting someone. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. God is grieved when we refuse to change. It's important for us to understand that when we accepted Jesus, he put his seal on us. And one day, he's going to come back and claim those who follow him, those who are his possession. And I think it's pretty close, which is awesome, right? Verse 31 and 32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. When we focus on the world, we aren't focused on Jesus. It's easy for us to become angry or bitter, but if we want others to see Jesus in us, we should be loving and forgiving just as our Father in heaven forgives us, loves and forgives us. This passage is summed up in chapter 5, verse 1, and I'll read it. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. 1 and 2, excuse me. God wants us to imitate him. He wants us to walk in love. This is what walking worthy of our calling means. God has blessed us with all the gifts he wants us to use, but if we don't walk in love, we can't be effective. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I could speak with all languages of the earth and of angels but didn't love, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. The love of God is what keeps us walking in a manner that is worthy, helps us with forgiveness, helps us with patience, helps us to be gracious towards one another, and lets people see Jesus in us. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, Lord God, and I just want to thank you for, again, for allowing me just to serve you, Lord. And Father, just bless us, bless the rest of our week, bless each and every person here tonight, Lord, and we just want to thank you in Jesus' name, amen.